All right, now, let's bring you another musical blast from the past as we celebrate the holiday season. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are still celebrating. We are still uplifting. We are still inspiring. It's going to be about music. That's right. We're combining the music with the discussion today. And I tell you, when it comes to both the music discussion, the musical discussion, the discussion of music, it's going to be about jazz. It's going to be about blues. It's going to be about love. That's right. All in this 1 hour. So stay with me and listen to a prior conversation that I had with great saxophonist Joel Cruz. Good to have y'all with us, and I have the great saxophonist and mentor in the house with us again, Joel Cruz. How you doing, Joel?
Doing well. Good to be here again. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Always good to have you in the house, and I tell you what, enjoy your music always when I hear you. Still just pleasantly surprised, man, the first time I heard you sing. Are you beginning to do that any more often, or you do that the singing kind of on a rare occasion?
That's pretty often. It is a good way to connect with your listeners, really. People will get tired of the instrumental, although I love instrumental, but at a typical weekly gig at a restaurant or a bar, the vocals are a good way to mix with your audience. So we do try to throw that in there as often as we can in any given set.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something I'm curious about, and I think about this so often, I go to a place, in fact, when I was at one of the local hospitals, I had created this program. In fact, I was at MCG at the time, and I created this program that I called MCG's Midday Melodies.
Uh-huh.
Once in a month, I would have entertainment come in, and the entertainers, of course, would entertain us during the lunch hour in the cafeteria.
Oh.
So we had live music going.
At MCG, huh?
Yeah. Oh. Years ago, but yeah. And we called it MCG's Midday Melodies because, again, around lunchtime, about midday. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that to say this. I thoroughly enjoyed having the artists come in,
mm-hmm.
do what they did. But at the same time, I couldn't help but think about what I would see if I went into a hotel or someplace, and there's the pianist doing what the pianist is doing, mm-hmm. et cetera. But for the most part, the musicians, the artists don't have the undivided attention of the audience.
Yeah, that's pretty common, pretty typical.
Is that difficult to deal with, or does it get to the point where you understand it's part of the pitch, it's part of the equation, and the musicians are okay with, singers are okay with?
Oh, we're never okay with that. we'll say that's part of the business, and that's what you say at the end of the night. Okay. Okay, thanks for... Did anybody clap? Nobody's clapping. Just keep going. Pick another song. Get used to it, if anything.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, in that scenario, if you're with a group and you are pretty much playing for each other, and if you're... actually, that's not even a bad thing. We'll play for each other.
Yeah.
And if nobody's interested, then we can make mistakes and we can try new things that we probably wouldn't try if we knew our audience would be paying attention, like at a formal concert. So you can get away with a lot of stuff in that scenario.
Mm. So there is a benefit.
There is a benefit, but you have to search for that sometimes. Yeah. It is pretty aggravating. a matter of fact.
I tell you what, man, I'm serious. My heart just goes out to the musicians, mm-hmm. especially when it's a soloist.
Oh, yeah.
Only the pianist.
Right.
You know.
That's the worst. I do. So I would tell people that if they're going to go out to hang out, then go somewhere where there's live music, period. I mean, you don't want to always go. Some people do like the clubs and they like the sports bars with the TVs. But at some point in the night, if you want to eat and eat where there's a band, or if you eat where there's no band, then go hang out somewhere where there is a band. It just kind of helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do that, and then the venue owners won't give up on the musicians. You know, you don't have to stay there either for a whole set. You go in there and you throw something in the jar, buy something, mm-hmm. and out you go. Some people do hop like that. Down, they'll end up, you know, that's your typical bar hopper or your restaurant hopper. You eat here, you drink here, you hang out with the boys at the TV sports bar down the street, but you'll end up hitting a few. At some point, I mean, if that's what you're going to do, then stop by where there's a band and just throw something in the jar. And then buy something from the bar, something. Doesn't even have to be alcohol. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
So, but they know this is working. This is worth continuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are coming in just to see you, just because they know there's music in that place. I'm going to walk in there just because there's a band.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to make sure that the venue knows that I walked in here just because there's a band. So I'll buy me something small and then put something in a jar and then see you. You know, and the venue staff will see that, and they'll tell you at the end of the night, yeah, people were walking in, they saw you in the window, so they came in, they just stood there for a minute, but then they left. And a lot of the times the owners don't realize that's what's happening. The owners aren't always watching anyway, but the staff do watch, and that's one of the images you'd see, somebody watching from the outside or peeking in, listening, and then standing there for a minute and then maybe deciding to do something, like buy something or put something in the jar. Yeah.
So a lot of, if we're talking about restaurants, for example,
mm-hmm.
they may or may not have a loyal clientele that's going to be coming there just for the food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to do other things to bring more people in.
Right.
And maybe, I guess, build up a clientele. Of
right,
people
right.
coming in.
That's kind of always the goal anytime I go into a new venue. Although you have to give it, I always wait a year before I decide it's not working or it's working. But and I would tell the venue owner that I'm in it for the long run. This, a year is a good marker. Mm-hmm. Really nothing less than that because you just don't know. Yeah. But it's kind of hit and miss. And it is for these bands when they find a new gig, not just my band, any band, they find a new gig. Hopefully they can make it that year and then they'll know whether it's going to work or if they should actually start looking for more work. Expecting to lose that gig, yeah, and that happens. Mm.
And so, what you talked about the jar. I guess they could say something to the restaurant owner or to some of the staff to let them know. How would you know? Let's say 6 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to go ahead and try this for 6 more months, or this is looking so weak that we better go ahead and pull the plug on this.
How do you know? You really don't know, and it's a matter of faith. It really is, and. And trust in not just the musicians and not just musicians trusting in the owners, but in the community. Yeah. And trusting that both sides are putting enough or saying enough to the community to spark some interest. Sometimes it takes a while for it to catch on, obviously. But even like the right type of promotion, it'll take a while to convince the other side. Venue or owner versus musician, you have to do this to help, and you have to do this to help. Sometimes it takes a few months for either side to realize that. And whatever side I happen to be on, I'm on the musician side. I try to be aware of all those little things that I should be active in. Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to things like the interaction, we talked about the singing and that really
mm-hmm.
helps you connect with the audience.
Yeah, one of those little things, yeah.
Do the audiences let you know, hey, you know what, that sounded pretty good. Could you also give us more of this?
Sometimes. Sometimes that's very annoying.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes they come in and they see a band and they expect the band to play anything they want. And you didn't even ask what kind of music. We just started setting up. You don't even know what kind of band this is. Or it's a duet, and they're expecting us to play. I mean, they'll ask for some big band stuff, and I'm like, yeah, I know that song, but I'm pretty sure you're expecting to hear that whole thing the way it was in that recording that you're familiar with. There's only two of us, man. You crazy? And when I'm doing a solo gig, I get requests like that. Could you do a song like some big rock song or some big R&B song? And I'm thinking, yeah, but exactly what do you want me to play from that song? Like, they'll ask for Earth, Wind, and Fire sometime, and I'll go, well, what part of that whole track do you actually want to hear from one saxophone player? They'll ask for some rock music, and what part of that entire track do you actually expect to hear from the one saxophone player? Yeah, I think I can do that. I think I know the words.
Wycliffe Gordon was one of the entertainers when they're doing a solo thing for us at
MCG. Yeah, nice.
And we had gotten down to it was going to be the last song for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and it was appropriate as far as the time of the year.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, I think he can do this. He had the keyboards as well as the trombone and some other real intriguing instrument, but I've forgotten what the other one was.
Saxophone?
That's a big thing. This was
one
that was kind of unusual.
Mm.
But I said, could you do This Christmas?
Yeah.
And he looked, and he was kind of taken aback.
Uh-huh.
And then he looked at a gentleman who had accompanied him. He said,
do you know that song? Yeah.
He said, yeah. He said, okay, sure, I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
So he just got on his keyboard.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sang it.
Yeah.
It did well. I mean, it worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, until he started with the first few chords,
you felt a little bad.
Yeah.
Putting him on the spot.
Yeah.
And
yeah. I figured it would be as easy as one.
Right. Yeah. We get that a lot.
So it worked out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and as it turns out, that was the song that got the greatest response. The whole
thing. Right. Right. It's often like that. Whatever the people want is going to get the most response. Yeah. And jazz is. Not just jazz, music in general. Musicians spend so much time working on music, they want to play what they've been working on. And so it doesn't really work out that the musician can play what he wants to play and then get recognized for it. Except in a formal setting when it's he's the man and that's why these people came to this theater to see. But in a restaurant, you know, the band's working on all this music. They get there and one guy, while they're setting up, hey, play some of the... Man, okay. We'll do that. Yeah.
And you know, something that I thought about too, I'm going to mention, we'll look at this when we come back. I'm going to ask you something that's almost on the other extreme of what we're talking about. I'll let you all hear when we come back. You'll stay with us. Our guest, yours and mine, is Mr. Joel Cruz.
I love the way we...